Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. John's Gospel account, the 17th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, the battle for our salvation was not brought about by the forging of plowshares and swords. The war for your redemption was not waged against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When Jesus was conceived, the prince of darkness toiled for attack. When Jesus was baptized, legions of demons assembled about and then were sent out into the landscape. When temptation failed to snare the Son of God, the devil desired to destroy his disciples, to sift them like wheat. Whenever Jesus came into the town, demons fell at his feet. Wherever Jesus preached, the demons fled in terror, their hearts, their ears pierced by the power of one who brought all things into being, one who undoes the work of Satan and makes all things new. Yes, beloved, the battle for our salvation was not brought about with the tip of a sword, and the cost for your redemption was not purchased with gold or silver. God gave his word. And his word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, today in our text, that incarnate word is set to give his life to the ransom of many. Blood is to be shed. Life is to be given. Death is to be tackled, consumed by him who is the way, the truth, and the light. For Jesus is to be crucified for you and me and for the world. Before the events of Good Friday unfold, the Savior calls upon his Father, not for himself, for he must drink the cup of wrath in order to give us the cup of blessing. No, beloved, Jesus doesn't pray for himself. He prays for his Christians, for Peter, James, and John, and all who will believe in him through their words. So he also prays for you. Jesus prays for you because although he has risen and ascended, although he has overcome the world, undone the works of Satan, and firmly established his dominion over all things, although the war is won, the battle rages on. The dragon is fallen from heaven, but he has set his steely rage against the earth, and in particular against you. Why you? Because you've been set free. You're baptized. Once you were in darkness, but now you are in Christ, the light of the world. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people holy and blameless in the sight of the Lord. Once you were the devils. Now you are the Lord's. You are not your own, but you have received a new life, a new today, a new future. Your old has passed away, and the newness of the gospel of Jesus has regenerated. And this is not of your own doing, not even of your own deciding, but it's all a gift that was given you when you were baptized into the divine name. Satan's attack on you is an attack on God's name. He wants to divorce you from God's name. And so to do that, he attacks the Word. For faith receives the Word, and the Word gives the name. God has united his name to his word. But Satan doesn't attack the truth of God's word, for the demons know the truth and they shudder. No, he perverts the word in order to desecrate the name and destroy true faith. Satan uses the word to exalt you. He uses the word to lift up not God's name, but your name. And this is a very great temptation for us all, beloved, for we all want our names to be remembered, don't we? We want people to hear our name and think, now there's a good person, there's a powerful person, or there's a popular person, the sort of person I wish I could be. He's cool, she's pretty. Who hasn't fallen for such wily tactics? Getting us to focus on making a name for ourselves, he gets us to focus on what we've done, our works. Our name is connected to our works, what we've done and what we've not done. And looking at our works, we take our eyes from Jesus, and then we begin to sink in the tumultuous seas of this world. We become like Peter. Walking by faith, we can walk on water. But if our eyes falter, if Satan can get us to think about ourselves, to be worried about our reputation, to fear what other people might think of us, to be more concerned about this life than the next, well, then he can work doubt in the divine word and further trust in our own strength. It's for this reason, beloved, that Jesus prays for you. It's for this reason, beloved, that Jesus prays that his Christians are kept, preserved in the divine name. Doing so, he prays that you are kept in the word, the pure word. He says, I have given them your word. The word that calls us to walk on water and follow where Jesus leads is the same word which enlivens our hearts and forgives our sins. For this is what it means to abide and be kept in his name, to keep the word pure and unadulterated in our hearts. For God's name, or his honor and praise, is that he is preached and made known, namely that he alone, out of pure grace, grants forgiveness of sins through Christ alone, and he saves us. The word of God holds before your hearts the name of Jesus. His name is above every name, and at his name every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess his name, Jesus as Lord. Exalting the name of Jesus will proclaim the words and works of Jesus. For Jesus hasn't called his disciples, he's not called you to live your best life now. He's not called you to exalt yourself, but to humble yourself. Not to make a name for yourself, but to confess that his name is the name by which all men are saved, even you, even today. Jesus doesn't even pray that you be given power to earn your salvation, but that you be kept in the power of the name which has won your salvation with blood, holy blood, blood shed on the cross by him who loves you and gave himself up for you, the very one who is risen and ascended, Christ our victor and Christ our redeemer. He who abides in the divine name will therefore desire to abide in his word. The word delivers the name through water, spirit. And that name is given and received throughout the life of Christ's disciples. For the word and the name make you holy because Jesus is holy. The whole life of a Christian is lived in the name and the word of God. Every time we pray, we do so in the name of Jesus. Every time we worship, we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The name is given with the invocation and again at the benediction. The name is given when we are confirmed in Christ. The name is set upon us when we are married even. The name sanctifies and makes holy our whole life because the name is the source of our life and the certainty of our salvation. Even in death, beloved, the name covers over us and promises us the resurrection and the life. Therefore, as his Christians, we confess the name with St. Paul, saying, it is no longer I who live. My name, my strength, my merits are nothing before God in heaven. It is no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself up for me. His name and his word are my strength and my all. And these have all been given to me as a gift, not because I deserve them, but because of his rich and bountiful grace and mercy revealed to me in Jesus, in water and the word. I am his dear child. I am his baptized. I am Christian. And because you are Christian, the devil hates you. Because the devil hates you, so does and so will the world. You are in the world, but you are not one of them. You're not not of the world. The world is not your source of life or joy or peace or even love. In fact, the world will be a thorn in your side, used and abused by the devil to assault your faith, accuse your conscience, and make every attempt to harden your heart. The world wants you to be like one of them. Beloved, there is a great sifting that is about to come upon us. For the world is fed up with us Christians and our allegiance to the divine name and His word. Surely you've heard it said, I like the Christ, but I do not like the Christians. Your Christians are nothing like your Christ. Ever your adversary, the devil does not attempt to lure you away from Christ, but actually to supplant the Christ of Scripture with an alternative Christ. One who is loved by the world. One who is not known, but imagined in the minds of men and conjured up by fallen hearts. The world makes up its own Jesus and seeks to impose false Christs upon us Christians through false doctrine and persecution. We've seen it already happening in our land. There's the Jesus on the left. The Jesus on the right. The Jesus on the left is proclaimed by mass media and liberal politicians as one who's full of love without judgment, as one who makes no mention of sin or repentance or faith. And those who oppose such a Jesus on the left will be given a choice. Keep the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus who forgives sin through his blood and calls a nation to repentance and faith. Or keep your business. Keep your Jesus or keep your income. Keep your Jesus or keep your bakery or your pizza shop or your tax-exempt status. The world says you can't keep both. The world is more than happy for you to keep their alternative Jesus, the Jesus on the left, with their alternative lifestyle, but not the Jesus of the Bible. For their alternative Jesus allows sinners to remain in their sin, and they like that. The world loves this Jesus, and they would love it too, if you loved it as well. Beloved in the Lord, Jesus has given us His Word. His Word delivers the name by which we are saved. The Word reveals His heart and His will, and we Christians do not have liberty to go against either. To do so would be to deny the Savior Himself and grieve the Holy Spirit. The Word unites us to Christ so that all He has is given us as a gift. And all our works, our sins, our past is washed in the tide of His blood. Kept and preserved in His Word, we are kept and preserved in His name. He is ours and we are His. So that when we suffer the hatred of the world or the attacks of the devil, anything and everything that befalls us, it is His concern. We cast all our anxieties upon Him, for He cares for us. We call upon the name of the Lord, and He delivers us. He calms the storms. He eases the burdens. He forgives our sins. He strengthens and upholds us by the might of His Word and the power of His name. And He pledges within us the resurrection of our bodies on the last day. Kept and preserved in the Word and name of our God, there is nothing, beloved, nothing that can overtake us. No sin, no devil, nor any misfortune or danger, for there is absolutely no power on earth that could do anything to sever us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Kept and preserved in God's Word and name, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We live because He lives. We overcome because He has overcome the world. We suffer for the name, and we sing, and we rejoice. We die, and yet we live, for Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He alone is victor, and we, beloved, we are His holy priesthood, clothed in the righteousness purchased for us with blood, adored with the holiness that comes from the God who reigns, gifted with life and light. Today, beloved, take courage and rejoice. Jesus prays for you.
Amen.
Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.